church. Praise the Lord, church. Somebody don't know that if it wasn't for his mercy toward us, we wouldn't be here in 2017 today. It's all right to give God praise in his house today for his goodness and mercy toward us. We offer you praise. Happy New Year to everyone. Giving honor to God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Our esteemed pastor, Reverend Timothy Warner. Our associate pastor, our assistant pastor, Reverend Dr. Makessa Hope. My wife and my best friend, Minister Tracy Newman. This awesome choir, the voices of praise, backed up by the groove at the Grove, and led by the Dr. Rob Walker. Amen. I'm thankful for God to allow me another time to speak to his people just one more time. And I'm looking forward to all the things that God has in store for this place called the Grove. So I'm just so grateful. I want to quickly acknowledge my friend back there, DeAndre, kind of snuck it in the back. I thank you for his presence. He come out here to support me. God bless you. God bless you. Well, another year has passed, and I find myself watching my children grow, and then I can't help but reminisce on how things were when I was their age. You know, the good old days. We did not need an iPod, a smartphone, or cable with hundreds of channels to be entertained. I mean, if you had a ball that was flat or one of those red rubber balls, it was time for dodgeball. If someone's mom was not using their clothesline, then it was time for double dutch. I came up in a generation that when you got bored, you just went outside and played. When you were young, you played games like Duck, Duck, Goose, Mother May I. And in school, if you had a substitute, they just might let you play 7-Up. You know about 7-Up. And as you got a little bit older, you played freeze tag, hide and go seek, and follow the leader. Now, a game like follow the leader is relatively simple. Someone got in front of the line, they became the leader, and your job, all you had to do was simply follow them. Now, whatever the leader did, you had to do it too. And anyone who failed to not do what the leader was doing was out of the game. Now, another game I loved to play was Simon Says. All right. Now, this game is very simple. Someone gets to be Simon. And all those who are playing the game simply had to do what Simon says. Now, players are eliminated from the game by either following instructions that are immediately preceded by the phrase Simon says, or by failing to follow the instruction after the phrase Simon says. Now, I know we're in church today. But let's just take a quick few minutes to play a little Simon Says. If I can get a couple of children just to come on out here and play Simon Says real quick, we'll be fast. We'll be fast. Come on, come on. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I don't need the whole church. Amen, amen, amen. 1, 2, 3. 6. Oh, praise him. Let him come. Let him come. All right. Amen. Give our players a hand, a round of applause. Well, praise the Lord. Now, players, I get to be Simon. All right. So turn around so you can see Simon. All right. We ready? All right. Simon says, lift up your hands. Simon says, put them down. Simon says, clap your hands. Stop clapping. All right, one, two, you out. You out, you stop clapping. Simon did say, yeah. Simon says, stop. Simon says, stomp your feet. Simon says, say thank you, Jesus. Simon says, put your hands up. Amen. That's how we play Simon Says. You may put your hands down. All of y'all out. I didn't say Simon Says. All right. You may go to your seat. Oh, man. Y'all night. These young folk, they ain't good at playing Simon Says. Amen. Now, usually the winner of the game, if we had one, is the last person who is able to correctly follow all of Simon's commands. And only after following Simon's commands do they get the title of Simon to start a new game. Oftentimes, people want the prestige, position, and power of being Simon, but don't understand that in order to get the title, they must be willing to follow the leader. Our scripture reading today is coming from the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. I appreciate the reading, but I'm going to read the scripture again, but from the Message translation. And the word of God reads, "It was about that time the mother of the Zebedee brothers came with her two sons and knelt before Jesus with a request. 'What do you want?' Jesus asked. She said, 'Give your word that these two sons of mine will be awarded the highest place of honor in your kingdom, one at your right hand and one at your left hand.' Jesus responded, 'You have no idea what you're asking.' And he said to James and John, 'Are you capable of drinking the cup that I'm about to drink?' They said, 'Sure, why not?' Jesus said, 'Come to think of it, you are going to drink my cup. But as to awarding places of honor, that's not my business. My Father is taking care of that.' Now, when the 10 others heard about this, they lost their tempers, thoroughly disgusted with two brothers. So Jesus got them together to settle things down. He said, 'You've observed how godless the rulers throw their weight around, how quickly a little power goes to their head. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not be served, and then to give away his life in exchange for the many who are held hostage.'" Let us pray. "And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen." As a title for today's sermon, it would simply be, "Lead like the servant." Lead like the servant. Now, last week, Pastor Warner preached a powerful sermon titled, "Are You Ready to Get Your Feet Wet?" with a focus on visionary leadership. I was able to enjoy that sermon thanks to our communications and audiovisual ministry. As I was praising God with you while riding on the New Jersey Turnpike regarding the powerful work that God is doing at the Grove and through the Grove. Amen. Won't he do it? Amen. Now, what we need to understand is once the vision has been proclaimed, the next step is to implement the vision through service. In the scripture read, we find Sister Salome, the mother of James and John, asking Jesus for a special request on behalf of her sons who were with her. You see, Sister Salome believed one day Jesus was going to establish his kingdom, and when he does, she wanted to make sure that when Jesus sat on his throne, her sons were going to be seated next to him. You see, even those that literally walked with Jesus from day to day sometimes had ulterior motives regarding why they followed Jesus. But why would Sister Salome ask Jesus on behalf of her sons? Because if you love your children or your family members, we try to look out for them. Yeah. If our kid needs a job, we try to talk to somebody on their behalf to get them a job. We try to have good relationship with our children's teachers to hopefully influence them to give them good grades. Some of us even petition secretly to the coaches of the child's team for more playing time. Because ultimately, all parents like to brag on their kids. Now I can picture Sister Salome on the phone, at the market, or in the beauty shop, getting her hair did. And somebody's asking, how are your sons, James and John, doing? Oh, they're doing just fine. You know that they are one of Jesus' disciples. Who? The one who lives on Mid County Highway? No, the Christ, Mary's boy. And when his kingdom comes, my boys will be seated at his left and his right. Jesus and I talked about that yesterday. Now, I can relate to what she's saying because I like to brag on my daughters because I know how to brag too. Oh, yeah, they got good grades, and the twins, me and the coach, we tight. That's why they're starting for their AAU basketball team. Playing point guard and small forward. Both average about 18 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, 6 steals, and 3 blocks. If you want to talk to me, I'll show you some highlights on my phone afterwards. And then they ask, well, how's the youngest? Oh, me and the coach, we text every day. Yeah, she about getting ready for the 2020 Olympics. Hey, amen. In Jesus' name. But we at the church, we do the same thing. Someone asks about your church, and you say with a big smile, I go to Emory Grove United Methodist Church. Yes. Yeah, I sing on the voices of praise, the choir, and everyone is trying to get to sing at their church. Matter of fact, I got a solo coming up. You know Pastor Warner? We tight. He calls me from time to time to ask me what he should preach about. You know the Grove will probably have to start having 2 services on Sunday. We about to blow up. Just check out our website, because we are transforming the world, loving our community, and committed to Christ. You see, Sister Salome was wise to understand the fact that it's not always what you know, but who do you know? But why would she ask Jesus to, in essence, have her son seated at his right and his left? Well, because to be seated means at the either side, particularly the right side, represents a position of honor, power, and authority. The closer you are to the king means you have more favor and greater access in comparison to others. Throughout the Bible, there are continuous references that to be seated at the right hand is, in essence, being seated next to the person who has power, and you are in a lofty position. You see, even Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Now think about it. When you go to a wedding, the closer you sit to the bride and groom is a status symbol. Matter of fact, one day I was at a funeral and overheard someone said, I'm going to go sit over there so I can be close to the mayor. At a funeral. And it usually is customary during a formal gathering or dinner that if you are seated at the right hand of the host, it is a symbol of honor and a power. But Jesus flips the script and says, you are not sure about what you're about to ask. What you're about to ask is, this position that you're asking for is not something that you get just because you go to the same church. This is not the type of position you get simply because your mama asked me nicely. This position comes with a high price, and what we need to understand is, are you willing to pay? Yeah. Matter of fact, in order to get that position, you are going to have to do the things that I'm going to do. So are you ready to serve like me? Because in essence, this is not going to be easy. In Matthew 26:39, while in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says Jesus went a little further, fell upon his face and said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus gives them a little insight and says, you know what? Since you said you can drink from the cup, don't worry. Both of you will have a big gulp waiting for you, filled to the brim with service, sacrifice, and suffering. Now, just because, what he's explaining is the cup that you're about to drink does not necessarily mean you will get the position. For God the Father is responsible for giving out the positions. Psalm 75 says, but it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. Daniel 2:21 says, it is God who changes times and season as he removes kings and sets them up. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Jesus basically wants them to know that your service is not directly tied to your title. So what do you mean? The title is not always linked to the service. We see it every day. Just because the person has a title of manager does not mean that they're managing anything. Just because they have a title of director does not mean that they're directing anything. How many times have you spoken to a customer service representative, and did not get any service? Oftentimes, the person with the title of secretary is actually serving as the CEO. You see, if we look at the position of pastor, it's not about having the title pastor or getting to sit in front of the church in a big plush chair, getting the prominent seat at the banquet, getting the bigger piece of chicken or extra piece of pie at all the functions, and having a parking spot in front of the church. Because pastoring is not a position, but a calling. The pastor is expected to be the best servant in the church. The position of pastor is not 40 hours a week position. The position of pastor is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. One who is responsible of the good health of the church and the well-being and the good health and well-being of the church, being prepared to preach in season and out of season, visiting the sick, being present in the courtroom, a counselor, an intercessor, a prayer warder, and willing to take out the trash if it needs to be taken out. Pastor Warner once told me, and every now and then he will repeat himself, if you are seeking to become a pastor and you are not called, then you are crazy. In this church, we have people who minister and serve others, but do not have the title of lay servant. We have those who are gifted with encouragement, yet they are not on a benevolence committee. There are people among us with a gift of counseling, but don't have a doctorate in psychology. And people with a gift of healing that don't have an MD after their name. And for those of us who have formal positions, God expects us to serve as the position that it states. Dr. Rob, my man, he is the minister of music, not because he likes to sit on that side of the church, but because he ministers to the church through the gift of music. We have trustees, not because they like to count money and have nothing to do after church, but because they have the gift to be trusted with the resources of the church. We have ushers who serve by ushering people into the sanctuary because they are often the first person that they see and the last person leave the church. And if we do not serve well, we may be responsible for turning people away from the house of the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. It is nothing wrong with one in a high position, especially in the kingdom of God. But the problem is related to the motive. The text tells us in verse 24 that when the 10 disciples heard about James and John's request, they were indignant with them, meaning they were a little salty with what they did. Now, if you read that scripture on its own, you would simply think that they were mad because it appeared that their motives were wrong. But let me look at it just a little bit differently. If you look at Luke 22, 24 through 27, the indignation amongst themselves regarding who would be regarded as the greatest disciple. Now, if I can add a little Tyree Newman commentary for the scripture, I believe the most they were most indignant with the that they actually called their mama to talk to Jesus to get them that position. But Jesus steps in and reminds us as Christians that we need to understand, unlike the world, the position is not related to the power. In the kingdom of God, if you want to be great, let's see how well you can serve. If you want to be great, follow the example of Jesus. Jesus, who has the position as the Son of God, came to serve and give his life. So why can't we serve like him? That's not a rhetorical question, but a literal question. Because if the author and the finisher of our faith can serve, why can't you? If the Prince of Peace can serve, why can't you? If the captain of our salvation can serve, why can't you? If the chief cornerstone can serve, why can't you? If the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords can serve, why can't you? If the wonderful counselor can serve, why can't you? If the great shepherd of the sheep can serve, why can't you? And if the Alpha and the Omega can serve, why can't you? You see, it's not about the title, but the service. Now, leading is not about people, but what leading is saying is how well can you serve? Wanting a position, especially in the church, is not something that I just want to make myself feel special about. What we're understanding is if it's just simply you standing there to feel good, that makes you no more than a sanctified groupie. Because you don't want to serve, you just want to be seen. I do not stand before you today because I think it would be cool to preach, teach, and exegete the word of God. I preach because that is what God called me to do. I teach not to have people listen to what I say. I do it because that is what God has called me to do. I am not pursuing the office of pastor to one day get a Bentley and be on the preachers of LA, but to serve God and fulfill the calling he has on my life. Now, everyone here today has an important position. Once you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have officially received the title of minister. The biblical meaning of minister basically means to assist or to serve. Your job in the kingdom is to lead people to Jesus Christ through our proclamation of the gospel and through the example of our lives. Today, there were a number of people that you saw before you who were officially installed in this church for leaders for the first time, and there were those who came and recommitted themselves to the position that God has placed them in today. Today, I encourage you to serve, and not only to serve, but to serve well. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance of your reward." You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Lastly, Jesus is telling us to be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. So then, rather than asking for a position, maybe we should be asking for continued grace and mercy. If we want to ask for something, it should be, "God, what can I do to serve you more?" If we want to ask for something, we should be asking for wisdom. If we want to be asking for something, it should be, "How can I worship you more? How to study your word more? How can I know you better? How to pray and how to be holy." And as God continues to bless, rather than for a position, let us ask how we can just simply say thank you for all that you have done for me. If the Lord can give us just 10,000 tongues just to simply say thank you, that is the things that we should simply ask. Now, a handkerchief can serve as a symbol to make a suit look good. But it can also serve as a symbol, show how hard you work. It can also serve as a symbol of how well you want to eat. But today, God wants you to serve as a symbol of what God is trying to have us to do today. We know that the vision has been given, so now let the service begin. Amen. As we stand to our feet, praise the Lord. As we stand to our feet, we talked about service.